I won't keep you too long this morning because I know your turkeys are in the oven and all those things. So. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you have given presents this Christmas, given away gifts? I have. Okay, how many of you have given them reluctantly, like you've given them for the sake of it, of giving? Not so many. Well, you're just hiding the fact. Okay, that's good. Because I was thinking about Jesus Christ, and sometimes we tend to give ourselves to Jesus Christ because we have to. That many times we should give ourselves to Jesus Christ because we need to, because we love him, and most of all, he loves us. And really, no matter what part we give ourselves, Jesus Christ still cherishes us. If we give ourselves reluctantly, he still cherishes it because he loves us so much that he just wants to take us and take any part we can offer to him. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And this is really the whole point of Christmas, that God wants to live with us. Right from the very beginning of Genesis, he wanted to live with man, wanted to live with people. Right to the very end, he takes us away because he wants to live with us. Jesus Christ wants to have fellowship with us, but God wants to have a love with us as well. And if throughout Scripture you can see thousands of years of prophecy, really, of when Jesus would be born. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us that his birth was proclaimed by angels, and the angels said that he was the Saviour, that he was Christ the Lord. But we need to understand about 4,000 years earlier in the Garden of Eden, when man had sinned, the Saviour was promised as well. This will be a common verse. Look at Genesis 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15. Now I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that was a message from God, saying that he's going to provide something to get rid of sin, to deal with sin. And this was thousands of years before. It can't be the same author writing it. It's someone different. It's Moses writing this. That's what I have reason to believe. It's Moses. And it's totally different to what Matthew wrote. 2,000 years before Jesus' birth, God told a man named Abraham that God would make of him a great nation, and that in his seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Look at Genesis 12 and verse 3. Genesis 12 and verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we are blessed today because of Abraham and his seed, but primarily because of what God has done and what he promised. Approximately around the year 1042 BC, King David of Israel was promised that through his descendants the Saviour would come and his kingdom would be eternal. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul when I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David, or to David. 742 before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah, God's prophet, told the amazing truth that Jesus would be born of a virgin, and his name would be Emmanuel, and we also read that in Matthew earlier on. 700 years before Jesus was born, Micah, God's prophet, revealed in Micah 5:2 that the Saviour would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Again in Micah, the place would be at a tower over the flock. Let's look at that. Micah 4, verse 8. Micah 4, verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Even in Daniel, the exact year that that Jesus would be born was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. And there are so many things that point to Jesus Christ coming that it has to be evident that it happened. There are over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and his birth and his life, and also his death and resurrection. And since man sinned in the garden, the world has plunged into sin. Men who believed God were looking and praying for his coming had hope in that they would be redeemed. But Jesus' birth is history. I mentioned a couple of sermons ago that, you know, in a sense, our whole timeline is based on Jesus Christ, the before Christ and after death sort of titles, I can't remember what you call them. I know the secular world is competing with that and changing them. But Jesus Christ is part of history, we cannot ignore that. But we need to recognise that Jesus was born into this world and he wasn't born from it. He came to the world, he didn't come out of the world. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Luke 1 verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, so that holy thing shall be born of thee, and shall be called the Son of, called the Son of God. And there's lots of holies in that verse there, and it's the birth of Jesus Christ was totally separate to anything that happens on this earth. That Jesus was born was not born from the earth, but from heaven, from a holy standing. Also, Jesus didn't emerge out of history, but he came into history. Jesus Christ is totally separate from the human society in the sense of that. But also, his birth was also in us. Look at Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The scriptures say that when we're born again, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we are turned into the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're turned into a vessel where God lives inside us. And so we are a temple. We are cleaned on the inside, and that shows on the outside. But the thing is, many times we rejected Christ, when we rejected the Holy Spirit. How many times have we shoved Jesus Christ into a corner of our life, just like Jesus Christ was shoved in a stable, just a spare stable, and not in a room? Like I said, whatever we give him, he will take. Not as a greedy person, not as someone desperate to take everything of our lives, but simply because he cherishes us more than we imagine. Although we give him the scraps of our life, he will cherish those scraps. He will take them and clean them for us. And he'll take them because he loves us and he wants every part of us. When Jesus Christ came into my life, he cleansed me, he made me born again, he made me holy and separate. But the thing is, he takes that humbly. He doesn't ravage, he doesn't ravage anything from me. But he's a gentleman. Just like Christ was born in a stable, we were that stable. We were dirty on the inside with all the mess in there, and he comes and makes us into a temple. Jesus Christ was born in a stable, and he became the temple. He changed it completely. But the last thing I want to share with you is that the same thing with Jesus' birth, it happened with our birth as well, being born again. Christ was born in a stable, and like I said, we were the stable. He came into us, he was born in us, and we were resurrected through that. Christ's birth seemed messy, but it used it for good, and our salvation would be messy. At the point of my salvation, I was at the end of myself. I didn't want to carry on with anything. But he turned that upside down and he flipped it. Christ gained a family. Although he had the Heavenly Father, he gained Mary, Joseph, and his brothers and his sister as well. We gain new brothers and sisters. We gain a new family. Christ's birth was sought after, but soon after death followed. And if you think about it, King Herod, he wanted to kill Jesus Christ. When we're born again, persecution comes straight away, through family, through work, through absolutely anything. We follow Jesus Christ in his birth as well as our birth with him as well. When we're born again, we're considered lost and brainwashed. Think about Jesus Christ. You know, when he ran away to the temple, Mary says, "Where are you? Where are you?" And although she understood who he was, she didn't understand what he was doing and what he was talking about. But it's the same with us. We're not brainwashed. We understand our Father. we understand what he wants us to do and may appear brainwashed. But also, Christ's birth reflects God's love, and out of our birth is a result of God's love. God loves us so much that we know he sent his son to us, but the thing is, how much do we give of it? How much do we give of ourselves to him? I'm not saying we can give the scraps to Jesus Christ, I'm saying we should give all, but the thing is, if he cherishes the scraps, what does he do with us if he takes all of us? You know, we've handed out Christmas presents, hopefully they're in love, and we know that, say I give Chris a Christmas present because I love him as a friend and things like that. You know, sorry, you know, the love is always there, the love is always going to stay there forever and ever, but just on one day I'm going to give him a gift doesn't mean that I love him just on that day with that present. It's the same with God. He loves us all the time, consistently, no matter what. It's never up and down. But it just so happens that the salvation, it outpours himself to us. And from that moment, we should outpour ourselves to other people as well. Sometimes I think I'm repeating myself, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. I know you know that. But the thing is, without Christ, we wouldn't be here today. We won't be sharing our pain. We won't be sharing our rejoicing. We won't be sharing Christmas meals together either. The thing is, Jesus Christ is the essence of us. Even our birth is represented in him as well. And we should always trust him and thank him for that. So even if you give him something small this Christmas, part of your life to Jesus Christ, he's going to cherish it. But don't hold back, because he never held back for us. So I hope you enjoy Christmas today. Like I said, it's only a short sermon, but you know, understand the reality that he loves every part of us, even the scraps of us, that he wants us to change and be transformed in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord, and to share, Lord, just a short message, but Father God, just to share our salvation. Father God, you sent your son, Lord, to die, and I can never comprehend that. Though I've preached many messages, Lord, I've said those words many times. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for saving me, for dying on the cross, Lord. This Christmas, Lord, there's so many people hurting, so many people we know, so many people, Lord, who haven't mentioned or forget to mention. But Father God, we ask, Lord, that you show them mercy and grace, Father God. That, Lord, that they'll be able to come to know you, Lord, that we could share you as well. Lord, again, for the families, Lord, who are unsaved that we know of, the pressure for having a good family Christmas, Father God, is great. And Lord, the message of salvation is also even greater. But Lord, help this time, Lord, to be a time of rejoicing, that we can show why we're happy, to understand, Lord, what a gift of love is. And Father God, we can express that to ourselves. Again, Lord, thank you, Lord, for not just taking us, Lord, but taking us in, Lord, and loving us, but also dying for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.